Welcome to Remember Me by Intervivos, the show about living life to its fullest, leaving a legacy, and deciding how you will be remembered. And now, your humble team of expert planners, taking the legal world by storm.
Hello, everybody. This is a Remember Me from with Intervivos. And I'm Mike Black. I'm here in the studio. I have Brian with me today. I'm waiting for Glenn. He should be here.
There's Glenn.
Glenn just walked in. we're just here getting started today, and we're going to start talking about some of the things we've talked about over the few weeks. We've talked about leaving a legacy. And last week we talked about why people take pictures and things like that. And next week we're going to have a photographer on with us. But memories is what we're trying to create and trying to leave things that, mean something to us. And we hope that we can leave those values to our posterity. Ryan, in your life, can you remember things from your grandparents, your great-grandparents? Did you ever know your great-grandparents, by the way?
I did not know my great-grandparents. I only got to know my maternal grandparents. So when I hear you guys talk about legacy, it's important to me because, I missed out on my paternal grandparents entirely. But what I know of my maternal ones, my grandpa was a builder, for instance. So
okay.
I have a grandfather clock he built. I have other furniture that he created. I have a rifle that actually his brother sent back from World War II that he customized. And these are all part of the legacy that he left. And it's now it's part of my legacy.
And it means something to you because of that.
Yeah.
And you said you didn't know that part of your family?
I didn't know my dad's parents because they died before I was ever born.
Uh-huh.
But because I only had, my maternal grandparents, they were precious to me. And so the more I learn about them, let me just say that I am probably the most appreciative audience you guys have when you start talking legacy, because the older I get, as my kids start having kids, it starts to become clear. This is really the stuff that's going to matter. When we reach the end of our lives, that's the stuff we're going to be thinking about and going, you know what? This was what counted. Not how many days I spent at work or how big my bonus was this year or that year. It's the memories we had with family and what they left for us to carry forward.
I think that's the important thing. I think that's what we're trying to really get to here is, how do we leave that? How do we leave those memories? How do we share those memories and leave that legacy with our posterity? And it's kind of an interesting journey because I remember as I get older, I start remembering more and more things. In fact, I was just talking to my dad on Saturday or Sunday, and I was remembering a story he told me when he was younger. He said he was about 13. We'd had a bull, he and his brother and sister were crossing a field one time. And this is the funniest story ever because, they'd usually wait for the bull to be on the far end of the field. But as you're crossing this one time, they were kind of hurrying to get home. And the bull was, when they looked up, they were in the field and the bull was close. So he had a slingshot, just pulled it back and shot that bull. He hit it in a place where the bull was, kind of knocked out. And the bull went, and bam, went down. And he thought he killed the bull. He hit the bull, and the bull left him alone. I guess he was incapacitated for a while. So those are kind of stories, those kinds of things I like to hear. Because I remember, now I see my dad was a kid. He did... he did get into trouble. I hear all sorts of other stories that he tells us, but there's not enough of them, and I need to, tap into those so I can hear more from him and understand what he was like. Welcome, Glenn. How you doing?
Good.
How was traffic?
Traffic was traffic. So, yeah.
I'm going to let you take it over now.
No, you're doing great. I was just going to put you in the hot seat and let you keep going.
No, it's okay. I'll give it to you.
We've been talking about part of leaving a legacy over the last few weeks and lots of different aspects of that. But the reality is that, at the beginning of this show, we made a determination of what we wanted to cover and really just kind of help, our listeners to know, how do you leave a legacy and what are some of the things to think about and what does that kind of encompass and all those sort of things. And now about 6 months into the show, we've kind of been reflecting on, our message and why we decided to do this in the first place. And so today we kind of wanted to shift gears a little bit and talk a little bit about you know, from the professional perspective, what do we do? And then over the next few months, you know, we're really kind of came up with a lineup of shows that we're going to start covering that that I think are going to be pretty exciting. So we want to jump into that a little bit, but to give a little bit of background on where we come from, you know, I started a law firm out of law school just shortly after passing the bar. And the reason that I kind of started my own firm was because I was, you know, at an event. It was an entrepreneurship event, and I was listening to somebody, and they were talking about, basically, they were talking about interviewing your future. If you've never heard of this concept, you know, the idea is, look at, you know, the people who have been at the company you're working at for longer, and you know, the people who have been there for their entire career, and that may be where you're going to end up in the future. So, you know, look at what they make, look at their lifestyle, look at, you know, where they're, what they've accomplished in life, and so on and so forth, and ask yourself, is that where you want to end up? And at the time, you know, I was working at a kind of a boutique estate planning firm in Salt Lake, and I was on a partnership track. Things looked really good from the outside. I was excited about where we were going, but you know, we talked about doing big things, and there was just never money for it, and we weren't really able to kind of accomplish the goals that we were setting out to do. And every month it was a little bit of a struggle to bring in, you know, new clients and new work and to be able to help, you know, more people. And so I looked at, you know, I looked at my boss and I said, okay, well, you know, where are they at? Their lifestyle, their income wasn't what I envisioned for my future. And, you know, in terms of family life and so on, things have kind of taken their toll a little bit. As you know, my boss had bought his practice from an attorney that was retiring at the time, and he paid top dollar for it. And I knew that, you know, somewhere down the line, eventually, when I, you know, would take over things, that the expectation would be that I would pay top dollar also. and I was a little bit worried about that.
You were his retirement plan, apparently.
Well, that's the thing. That's the, you know, pretty common, right? I was looking at this, and I, at the time I was bringing in my own work, and I thought, you know, I could probably do a little bit better on my own. So I started my own practice, but from the beginning, the intention was to grow something unique in the industry. And so, you know, we just celebrated our fifth year in business earlier this year in March, and now we've kind of developed a firm that has a presence across the United States. We have, you know, multiple offices in different states. We have, you know, licenses in close to 27 states in the union. And we're connected to 60,000 financial professionals across the country. So, you know, there's just blue skies in terms of growth for us. But when I look back on kind of what we've been trying to accomplish, really what we're trying to do is we're trying to help people understand the importance of planning and change their mindset, because a lot of people just think, well, I'll get around to it when I get older, when it's more important, or when I have more money. And the reality is that it's most important not when you're older, not when you have a lot of money. It's most important when your family really needs it. And, you know, my family's young, and all my kids are, you know, under six and under, right? And so they couldn't express to somebody how they would want to be raised, or what, you know, what we would want as parents for them if we were gone, right? And so, you know, right now is the most critical time for me to have an estate plan, because if something happened to me and my wife, there wouldn't be anybody around to know, you know, what were our hopes and dreams for these kids, and how should they be raised, and, you know, what kind of a lifestyle do we want for them? And, you know, heaven forbid, we leave millions of dollars, you know, worth of life insurance and stuff for them, that's misspent and just disappears over a matter of a few months, right?
Yeah, it's amazing because, you know, thinking about that, I have a neighbor, I have a neighbor whose daughter's ex-husband passed away. Well, and her sister's also my neighbor as well, so it's kind of in, close to the family. But they didn't have anything. They didn't have a trust. They didn't have a will. And his brother was a lawyer, So, you know, it's kind of like the mechanic does. They drive the worst cars around because they didn't have that thing. And then my neighbor had to kind of go through this and kind of help the help his daughter through everything. So it's kind of interesting what you say. The time we need it is, you know, when the family needs it. So it's really important.
Yeah, and you know, at the end of the day, it can happen to anybody. We had a colleague passed away just a few weeks ago,
and
you know, he's an estate planning attorney. We found a trust as part of his, you know, his personal documents and everything, but it wasn't signed. So as far as we know, he didn't have a plan that was completed, and there was a lot of things that, you know, I'm sure the family would have been better off with a completed plan. In some ways, it's almost easier when you're older. Because, you know, it's not as critical, and, you know, if just one spouse passes away and so on and so forth. But when you have a young family, it's very important to think about these things. And that's one of the reasons we wanted to get the word out is, you know, for the people who aren't thinking about leaving a legacy, to help them to start thinking about it. So if that's you, call us at 801-477-1570, 801-477-1570. We'll be back after the break.
Welcome back after the break. You know, I wanted to kind of explore a little bit more what Glenn was talking about, his growth in the firm. And as we were talking about in the break, you know, he started in a closet. He rented a space in an office, and it was basically a closet.
It was a closet space, yeah.
Closet space.
From a financial advisor, yeah.
He rented a closet, but, you know, look at the path he's grown in the last 5 years on his own. He's gone from the closet to a sole practitioner to he's got now 60, 70 attorneys that he's associated with. He can reach anybody. He can service anybody in the U.S., and we have ability to service, you know, 10 different countries. We have multiple languages spoken, Spanish, Tagalog, French, Chinese, Portuguese,
Portuguese, and
it's just amazing the path that he's been on and the growth because of his passion to help people. And I think that's amazing, and it's really kind of a, if I don't stop, I'm going to start getting weepy about it, because it's really kind of a cool story. It's not a rags to riches, but it's a starting from nothing, basically, with a dream and with a focus and with an ability and to see how to help people and actually be able to influence and be able to get involved with people. And he's really, you know, the path is just, you know, we've been talking about this. He and I have talked late at night sometimes. We talk about where the firm is going to go, and it's really a cool story, and it'll be great to be able to tell that. And well, in 2 years, we're not even going to be able to recognize the firm.
Well, the need out there is just enormous, and what we saw was there's an aging population. There's the baby boomers that are getting to the point where, you know, that's where a lot of times people are more acutely aware of their estate planning needs when they're in their late 60s, right? They're starting to maybe have memory issues, and they're worried about, you know, making sure that things are taken care of for the family and the grandkids and all that stuff. And that's when they think about estate planning. So we have an aging population that's, you know, the largest population that we've ever had reaching that point, and there's a huge need there. But then there's going to be the largest transfer of wealth in all of history. When not just when, you know, when the baby boomers are retiring, but also as they start passing away, there's, you know, a lot of wealth that's going to be transferred to the next generation. And if it's not transferred properly, a lot of it's going to be lost. And so there's an enormous need out there. But then we look at the next generations, which in some ways people think that they have less of a need to plan. But the reality is they have more of a need to plan, right? You look at the millennial generation. It's the largest generation that we've had to date in terms of numbers. And so, you know, there's just an enormous need for planning for young families that have children. But really, our target demographic when we started was we wanted to focus on the sandwich generation. So those families that are taking care of aging parents and they're taking care of young kids at the same time. And they're the ones that maybe have, you know, the most at risk. if they don't have a proper plan, you know, that they're going to have problems with their parents' estate and with their parents, you know, people making decisions on their behalf and so on and so forth. And they're going to have problems with their children also. And so that's where we really wanted to provide a service to help people make planning accessible and affordable for them, right?
Because a lot of times, you know, in the sandwich generation, the parents move back in with their kids because they don't have a plan.
Exactly.
They run out of money or something else has happened. So being able to identify that and start looking towards that, you know, because when I was a kid, I thought, yeah, you reach 55, you go into a retirement home. You know, I'm past 55. I'm not going to go into a retirement home. I don't want to go there. But it's interesting the way, you know, perspectives change too.
Well, and the other thing is that, you know, when you become a caregiver, a lot of times that takes its toll.
It's a full-time job and then some.
They
it's
say that every year
job.
That you give in caregiving is a year that you give up in life expectancy, right?
And I didn't hear that, but that kind of makes sense because you've got a lot of stress and strain on you. A lot of, you know, stress.
So, you know, that's really the demographic that we wanted to work with. And as we kind of looked at that, we thought, okay, well, what are other situations where there's really a large need for planning? And what we've developed out is we're going to have a series of ebooks that's going to be coming out probably next year that we're working on. But also we have a series of seminars and so on and so forth that kind of work with these topics. But really focusing, you know, number one on the sandwich generation and what that means and what kind of planning considerations they have. And then secondly, you know, we look at, for example, you know, everybody has a need for the potential catastrophes that can happen in life, right? Right now, there's a hurricane that's, you know, hitting the southern coast, right?
Right. I heard there's a fire out in Tooele this morning.
Yeah. And when those emergencies happen, then, you know, do you know where to find your important documents to be able to pick them up and run if you had 5 minutes, right? And most people don't, right? And so, you know, we call that topic planning for the zombie apocalypse, right? Because, you know, whether it's a catastrophe that can happen, you know, on a local level, or whether it's something that could really be a societal meltdown, but we need to be prepared for those things.
Right. You know, and we had that last year with the fires in my area. People were just grabbing things and going as fast as they could because they had to evacuate.
So everything from, you know, planning for your gun collection to planning for, you know, just basically having somebody who can make medical and financial decisions on your behalf, right? And then knowing, you know, where are the assets that the family has and how do you get access to them, right? And then in addition to that, there are situations that families have that are even more important to make sure that you're planning around, because it's really detrimental to everybody if you don't have a plan. So, for example, planning for special needs and special needs families and preserving benefits in those sort of situations, right? The book that we're going to come out with next year is, you know, planning for angels in their charges, the caregivers of special needs children and also of aging parents that, you know, when you get to the point where you have a dementia diagnosis or Alzheimer's diagnosis, you know, it's just a lot that goes into that and the considerations that you need to have as part of the planning. And that's really kind of the topic that we want to hit on, right?
Yeah, and those are really good topics, too, because, you know, everybody knows somebody in that situation. And if they don't, they'll probably be in that situation.
And then, you know, of course, there are situations that the traditional estate planning message is geared towards the high net worth clients that have, you know, they have significant estates. We call them, you know, big fish,
sharks and big fish,
right? So if you're a professional, if you have, you know, potential liability in your profession as a doctor or a dentist or even an attorney, right, there are special considerations you need to do for your estate planning. And believe it or not, even attorneys don't know how to do their own estate plan. I can't tell you how many times I've had attorneys come to me and say, oh, I'm thinking of doing my plan. I'm just going to do a simple will. Just a simple will? But don't you owe to business? Yeah, I do. Okay, well, that's
simple
probably a little bit more
it, yeah.
complicated, right? But don't you have a house? Yeah, I do. Okay, well, haven't you saved anything? Yeah, I have some significant savings. Okay, well, yeah, you don't just want a simple will. You want a little bit more than that.
Yeah. I was talking to my brother. He's an attorney. He's a real estate attorney. And I said, well, you know everything about estate planning, right? He goes, I don't know anything about it. He says, I took a class on it. I said, yeah, I know. That's what Glenn told me. They take a class on estate planning, and that's about as far
everybody
as
has
get.
To take a class.
Everybody has to take it.
And when you practice law, you know, you get your law degree and you get accepted to the bar. you can practice any area of law. You're licensed to be able to practice any area of law. That doesn't necessarily mean that you understand every area of law or that you can do it competently, but you're licensed to, right?
Right.
And so, you know, not all attorneys are created equal. And not only are they not created equal, but not all attorneys, you know, specialize in the same area. And so it's important to work with somebody who understands the area that you need, and specifically, in this case, estate planning.
Well, if estate planning, like you said, the InterVivos has a lot of different specialties that they have people that actually specialize in those
24
areas.
Different specialties,
24 different specialties.
And they're all estate planning specialties, but they're all, you know, specific areas of estate planning that, you know, sometimes go overlooked.
Right. And I think that's important because that gives a broad perspective that, you know, those kinds of things come up all the time. And who do you go to? And if you don't understand those specialties and those real specific needs, you can get somebody that doesn't understand it and they could really mess things up.
And sometimes, you know, and we've had clients come to us and say, well, I had my plan done by an attorney. I paid $3,000 for it. I think I'm good. It really doesn't matter how much you paid for it. The more you paid for it sometimes just means that the more you got ripped off. So, you know, we replace plans, we fix plans, you know, all the time from other, you know, other firms that do work that sometimes wasn't done correctly. And sometimes it was done correctly at the time, but your situation's changed. And so there's, you know, new needs and new things that need to be addressed. And sometimes, you know, it's maybe not something that you have to have, but you want to have it because it's part of your legacy. It's what you want to leave. Maybe not just leaving everything in equal shares. Maybe that's not good enough. You want to leave something from generation to generation and more comprehensive planning. And we can get into those things as well.